You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 22nd show. I provide you news on everything regarding money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 to talk to my guests, ask them any questions, or if there's anything you'd like to chat with me about, please feel free to reach out. Right now in studio, I have Gary Castle with Mountaintop Advisors. We're going to be talking about investing in low interest rate world. Gary, thanks for coming back in studio.
You bet, Tina. Thank you very much.
And Gary, again, is with Mountaintop Advisors, LLC, first licensed in 1984. Gary's been a high-volume bank program and at a very well-known credit union. He has a Series 6, 63, and Series 7 licensees, in addition to being fully licensed for life insurance and annuities, both fixed and variable. And today, the topic, Gary, is investing in a low-interest rate environment or world. And so with interest rates so low, how can an investor find ways to get a decent income for their investments? You know, CDs right now aren't doing so swell.
No, they're really down at historic lows, like you have found with mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your listeners will know that they can borrow money very, very inexpensively right now, but it makes it very, very difficult to find any sort of an investment that gives them a decent, exciting yield.
Yes.
So most investors have got two types of investments in their IRA or 401k or any type of an investment portfolio. They've got typically stocks or stock-based mutual funds, and they've got bonds or bond-based mutual funds, and maybe cash. But they're really only diversified with those two things, and bonds right now just don't yield very much in the way of income,
yes,
and neither do CDs. So what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
That's the predicament that a lot of my customers are in, especially my more elderly clients, seniors that are retired and trying to live off their investments. They look at stocks. The volatility scares them. Prices jump all over the place. The stock market doesn't like uncertainty, and we've got a really contentious election going on right now.
Yep.
We just had the British exit from the EU. We've got Puerto Rico, and their bonds are, you know, in crisis, and maybe terrorism and all sorts of things. So people are nervous, and that's not good for the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So people investing in the stock market have seen wild fluctuations, but they really haven't gotten a heck of a lot of overall growth in the last couple of years. Bonds could be one of the scariest investments currently, from a standpoint of as soon as interest rates do move up, then the value will drop tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really had that happen for 30 years. So people are kind of thinking, what are you talking about, Gary? I thought bonds are really safe. They are, or they can be, but you can also lose a lot of money. And recently in 2014, during the summer, the Fed decided that they would try raising interest rates, and they raised them only 0.25%.
Mm-hmm.
If you owned what's considered to be the safest investments of all, long-term U.S. government bonds, in a two-month period of time, you would have lost over 14% in value.
Wow.
If you're only getting paid a couple of percentage points, that's, you know,
yeah,
6 or 7 years worth of income.
Yes.
And that's,
mm-hmm,
my clients don't like that.
Yes.
So That's the risk. But there are other things that have come up because of banking regulations and some other circumstances that I think are a good solution.
So, Gary, what about investing in commercial real estate for income and value of appreciation? How can you do that if your account, the net worth that you have, isn't millions of dollars?
The easiest way to do that, and that's sort of the area that the company that I work with, Titan Securities, that's sort of their area of expertise,
mm-hmm,
alternative investments, non-stock, non-bond types of investments. And the best way to invest in commercial real estate so that you own the building and there are tenants that are paying rent to you, the easiest way for somebody to do that without having huge, huge amounts of money is to invest in a real estate investment trust. And what happens in that scenario is you and a whole bunch of other investors pool your money together, and then they go out and can buy the property with large amounts of money, oftentimes just walk in with cash, and they can negotiate a pretty good deal.
So with the real estate investment trust or REITs, you own the land or you own the lots and the buildings and you're collecting rent. So how do you know that that they're going to be sending the income and paying for that?
That's a very good question. I think a lot of people might wonder about that. They're required to. They have to send 90% of the income that they generate to the investors. If they don't do that, then they can lose their tax benefits, and that will hurt them a lot. So they work very, very hard to not run into that problem. So they do disperse, and it's a very nice, consistent income typically if you are selective and get into the right ones.
So if determining if you want to invest in to this real estate investment trust, is there some type of previous track record or ways that you can get information to see how they've performed?
Absolutely. And that's one of the key things to look at when you're trying to decide what real estate investment trust do you want to put your money into. Buried in the prospectus, in clear sight, that people don't normally read, they are required by law to put in their past offerings. They have to put in what did the investors on their previous REITs, how did they fare? What happened? Did they make money? So if you find somebody that has set up and run four of them and every one of them worked out very well for the investors, that's a pretty good indication. If they've only done two previous and one of them lost money and one of them gained money, then maybe you should look into it a little bit more carefully. Doesn't necessarily mean they're bad, but you know, it'd be something to look into.
So just like probably anything else, the more risk that asset or that investment has, then you're probably going in at a lower cost versus ones that have performed better. It's going to cost more. Is that correct?
Not really.
Okay.
I think the main thing is there basically can be two different types. There can be a very opportunistic type that could have a very large gain, but it's a little bit riskier and maybe they won't be able to perform. Versus another one that's very, very cautious and conservative. They might have a lot of different types of buildings. They may have very high occupancy and very high credit quality tenants. You're not going to make a ton, but it's going to be nice and consistent. So there are a lot of different types.
Okay. So Gary, what are the risks attached to investing in real estate investment trusts?
The biggest one, obviously, they could buy buildings that go down in value, and they could lose their tenants and maybe not be able to, you know, to perform. But more than that, if you find somebody that's got a good track record, and right now, especially, I feel that it's a very, very good time to buy, especially if you're doing it this way where you walk in with cash, you're in a much better position to, A, complete the sale, and the people will know that. I'm sure they're going to mention that when they negotiate.
Sure.
And so in any event, you can buy low, and that's the first part of the buy low and sell high.
Okay, yeah.
The conditions. Another thing that's happened is the banking community has had to pull back. They've been restrained now about how much they can invest in real estate. So what happens is they may be only if you want to buy a commercial building to operate in, you might have been able to get a 90% loan in the past for your commercial property, your warehouse, your office building, whatever. But now you're probably only going to get about a 50% loan. And then you're going to have to get the equivalent of a second mortgage, some other type of financing to get the difference in there.
Okay.
A real estate investment trust, so it makes it very difficult for people to buy. The money is not as free as it used to be. It's not as readily available. So it's tougher if you've got a building and you're anxious to sell it. Somebody comes walking with cash, that's
sure.
pretty exciting.
Yeah. So let's say that you don't want to limit yourself and just buy in the U.S. investment options, but you don't know a lot about investing in foreign countries. Would that be a good idea?
You're describing most of my clients.
Okay.
They're a little nervous about the U.S. and they really don't know very much about what's going on in the rest of the world.
But that's why they're talking to you, right?
Yes. would be one of the best reasons for doing that. Currently, is about 90% of the land in the world is not in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
A huge percentage of the population is not in the U.S. And a huge percentage of the businesses in the world are not in the U.S. So, yes, a person should consider that. And there are some conditions in other areas that that are very exciting. Have a very high potential and yet lower risk.
Yeah. So just like anything else, you've got to talk with an expert that understands what you're investing in that can really coach and help tailor a plan that's going to fit your risk and the money that you have to invest. So, Gary, what about these impact in investing funds? Is this something new? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, that's something that you'll start hearing that term a lot more. It's been around for a little while, but it's starting to really gain. Basically, with impact investing, what is happening is they're going out and before they make a loan to a business, that business has to say that they're going to do something. You know, before you invest in that company, they're going to create a positive impact in their area. They're going to raise, they pay a higher wage than the prevailing wage. That company is the nice kind of company that might provide free housing for their employees, or they built a school for the local, you know, kids, or they've done something good. That provides a good positive impact. You feel good about it, and yet you still need to get a decent rate of return.
So, Gary, if you want a decent return on your IRA so that you can someday retire, that's all what we want to do, but you've heard the socially responsible funds do not perform very well. Are these impact funds the same thing?
Yes and no. I've done a little bit of work. I'm not an expert in socially responsible funds. The big challenge with them, it's a type of mutual fund where they restrict themselves to only investing in certain, they will exclude certain industries. Maybe they don't do any investing if a company has anything to do with guns or alcohol or tobacco or something like that. But there's no standard definition, so another socially responsible fund might only concern themselves with pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, all the ammunition you want to make, as long as you don't pollute.
Yes.
So it's very difficult for the investor to figure out which one they really want to invest in. The impact, like I said, what happens there is that they're we're still, first and foremost, the one that I'm most familiar with, they still want to get a decent return. And there are conditions in certain developing countries where they... there are no community banks. They don't have the banks work. You know, we see them all the time. Every corner, there's a community bank, and they love to loan money to us. But in these other countries, there may only be one bank, one national bank, and that's it, or two.
Yeah.
And they don't do small loans to small businesses. Now, these are businesses that might have 200 to 500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's bigger than my business.
Yes.
By a long shot. But still, those types of companies are good companies. They're maybe in their growth phase. They've got a lot going for them, but they can't find, you know, anybody that will loan them money. So these people put up these funds, and you have to show them that you're going to do something good in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll loan you the money. And since they don't have a whole lot of sources, they're very anxious to pay that back and probably get another loan the following year and the following year.
Well, Gary, it's an interesting way of looking at investing, and I think for anyone that's in investing, diversity is important. It's also important to know what your investment options are and make sure that you're, again, you've got that expert that can kind of lay things out and put a great plan together for you. So I appreciate you bringing this in studio and sharing race with my listeners.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, how are the city changes affecting the real estate market? Holly Fern with City Closer Real Estate right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.